Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with African cycling. An Eritrean cyclist is celebrating his second overall title in the Tour du Rwanda. Joining us now from Rwanda's capital, Kigali, is Eugene Uwimana. Sporty greetings, Eugene.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to 22-year-old Eritrean cyclist Nathanael Testefazian. For a second time, he's the overall winner of the Tour du Rwanda after covering more than 913 kilometers in 23 hours, 25 minutes, and 34 seconds. Testefazian competes for the Italian team Drone Hopper. He said his experience climbing highly sections of the 8-stage course helped him a lot.
I'm really happy, and thank you to all my teammates and all my fans and my family, also for Rwanda. I feel good, and I keep the jersey. Yeah, because I know this climb, 2020. I climbed this three times, this climb.
Meanwhile, Rwandan rider Moise Mugisha won Sunday's 8th and final stage. He competes for the South African team Pro Touch, and he clocked 2 hours, 8 minutes and 16 seconds for the 75-kilometer distance. The Tour du Rwanda began February 20th. The Ukrainian Anatoly Budyak posted an emotional win in Stage 6 as his victory occurred amid the Russian invasion of his country. Nicolas Belomo, the European ambassador to Rwanda, comments.
The fact that an Ukrainian cyclist won this stage, I think, brings some hope. And we really hope that, peace will prevail. We sincerely hope that this event will also play a role. And we really congratulate this Ukrainian cyclist. And I hope that it will bring at least a moment of joy in a very difficult time.
There was a moment of joy for the South African cyclist Kent Mayne, who won Stage 4 in 3 hours, 17 minutes and 40 seconds. The Tour du Rwanda was upgraded in 2019 to a category of 2.1 event by the Union Cycliste Internationale. The Rwandan government says the cycling race has attracted more than 2 million spectators, and the restrictions that had been imposed due to COVID-19 were relaxed and fans were allowed on the street. One indicator of the growing nature of the 2022 Tour du Rwanda meant 4 cyclists started and only 65 finished. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Eugene Uwimana in Kigali, Rwanda.
Thanks, Eugene. In African athletics, Ethiopia's Yalom Zerf Yehuwalau set a new road 10-kilometer world record on Sunday when she clocked 29 minutes and 14 seconds in the Spanish coastal city of Castellón. Yalom Zerf has won half marathon races in Morocco, India, and Northern Ireland. And at 22 years of age, she's definitely a running talent to watch in international athletics.
Hi, guys. I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Gabonese football star Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is off to an excellent start with his new Spanish club, Barcelona. Aubameyang signed with Barcelona on February 2nd after 4 prolific seasons with the Gunners of Arsenal. Aubameyang bagged his 4th goal of Spain's La Liga season over the weekend, as we hear now from Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince!
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny.
Gabon captain Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, French striker of Malian descent Ousmane Dembele, Dutch striker of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay, and his fellow countryman Luke de Jong all registered their names on the score sheet as Barcelona cruised past Athletic Bilbao 4-0 to go fourth in the La Liga table. Barca have now scored 12 goals in their last three games, with their attacking brand of football proving too much for the likes of Valencia, Napoli and Athletic in the space of a week. In other fixtures, French star of Algerian descent Karim Benzema netted a late winner to help leaders Real Madrid secure a 1-0 win at Rayo Vallecano. Los Blancos are now 6 points clear of second place Sevilla, also registered a 2-1 win against third place Real Betis. Moving on to the English Premier League, Manchester United's 0-0 draw against Watford at Old Trafford dented their hopes of a top-four finish, with their coach Ralf Rangnick laying the blame squarely on the team's inefficiency in front of goal.
I think we did everything apart from scoring. Hard to take that result, but in the end, if you miss out that many chances, then it's difficult to win the game. I think we were in full control for almost the whole game. Didn't allow them hardly any counterattacks, in the last 5 minutes, but apart from that, we were in total control of the game.
That's Manchester United boss Ralf Rangnick after his squad failed to secure a win against Watford in the Premier League. The Red Devils are set to face Manchester City at the Etihad Stadium next weekend before hosting Tottenham on March 12th and a trip to Anfield to face Liverpool on March 20th. United sit fourth, although Arsenal, who are 2 points behind them, have 3 games in hand. Phil Foden scored a late winner to help league leaders Manchester City secure a 1-0 win against Everton at Goodison Park. The Citizens, however, survived a controversial VAR decision which denied the Toffees a penalty when the ball struck Rodri on the arm. City boss Pep Guardiola praised his team's victory.
That's difficult because they defend on 4-5 and Richarlison go with Rodri. They leave central defenders just with the ball. They are physicality, the transitions, Runuyobi, Dakure, Gordon, exceptional player, and Richarlison, of course, and always is dangerous, it's difficult, set pieces. But in general, we control in the second half. We have chances, not a lot because it's almost impossible. But even with that, with the smaller spaces, in the second half was much, much better.
That was Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola after his team snatched a hard-fought win against Everton in the Premier League. Matt Doherty, Dejan Kulusevski, Son Heung-min and Harry Kane all registered their names on the score sheet as Tottenham thrashed Leeds United 4-0 at Elland Road. It was the 20th goal that Leeds conceded in 5 games in February, setting a Premier League record for goals conceded in one single month. Tottenham were still well placed in the fight for the Champions League qualification spot, sit 7th in the Premier League table, while Leeds are 16th with 23 points. Spurs manager Antonio Conte shared his thoughts on the match.
We played a really good game. It's not easy to play against the Leeds. And I think we played in the right way against a team very strong because they put pressure from the start until the end. If you are not prepared for this pressure, and you risk to lose a ball and to concede goals. And instead, I think we prepared the game very well. And I'm pleased for the players.
That Spurs manager Antonio Conte speaking after his team's dominant win over Leeds United in the Premier League. Liverpool beat Chelsea 11-10 on post-match penalties to win the Carabao Cup in a match that was played at Wembley Stadium. The Blues' short stopper Kepa Arrizabalaga missed the decisive penalty after blasting the ball over the bar. The Carabao Cup victory marked Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp's first domestic cup victory since he joined in 2015, much to his delight.
Both teams went for it, and it was a super intense game. My God. They were better in the beginning, then we were better. Then they started again better in the second half, then we came back in the game. So we caused each other a lot of problems. And in the end, it was a penalty shootout, and Cuif Kelleher, the Irish hero, saves it for us. So absolutely, the emotions are, it's really overwhelming. It's outstanding. So with the people, when you saw them, it's really top. In difficult times, to give the people a little bit of something to think about, something different, is really nice, and I'm really proud of the boys.
Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel also shared his thoughts on the match.
I'm very proud on the performance and on what we delivered today. I mean, excellent, brilliant game of football, and we played a huge part in it. Like I say, I'm proud on the team, and it was an excellent performance. We could have won it. They could have won it. It was such a tight game. Even the penalties were like full of quality, unbelievable. And in the end, somebody needs to lose. It was a tight match, and they were more lucky than us today.
That was Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel after his team lost in the Carabao Cup finals against Liverpool. Moving on to the French League, French star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe scored twice, while Portuguese midfielder of Guinea-Bissauan descent Danilo Pereira added another to help PSG bounce back from their shock defeat last week against Nantes to win 3-1 against Saint-Etienne. Mbappe's goals also saw him join former PSG striker Zlatan Ibrahimovic in the all-time PSG goal-scoring records, as he drew level on 156 goals. Gabon national team winger Denis Bouanga scored Saint-Etienne's consolation goal. The win sees the Parisians go 15 points clear at the top of the French league. And in other fixtures, Dimitri Payet's first half penalty and Marseille 1-1 draw against Troyes to help them move back into second place, while Gabriel Goodmanson scored the only goal of the game to help champions Lille hold on for a hard-fought 1-0 win at Lyon. Monaco also suffered a shock 2-1 defeat in the hands of Reims, thanks to goals from French footballer of DR Congolese descent Nathaniel Mbuku and Kevin Volland. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. Just ahead, Samson Omalley will have the results of weekend matches played in the Confederation of African Football's Confederation Cup Tournament.
Morocco outfit RS Bakene bounced back from last weekend's stinging 3-1 defeat at the hands of Isaac Mimosa to beat Simba SC 2-0 at home and romp to the top of Group D in the CAF Confederations Cup. Elsewhere, Al Ahly Tripoli scored two late goals at the Martyrs of Benenia Stadium in Benghazi to beat Zambian side Zanaku 2-0 on Sunday and condemn them to a third successive defeat in Group A. In Group B, Orlando Pirates came from two goals down to thrash Eswatini's Royal Leopards 6-2 in Manzini on Sunday and stormed to the top of the group. Madla Isikazi is an assistant coach with Orlando Pirates. He describes Eswatini's Royal Leopards as a very strong side.
A very good team, very physical, a police force team. You could see their structure, their conditioning. And how they play in a block. Most games that they've played, you see them in a block. Very good when they shape with Msibe at right back, they shape with Masego at left back, Lamini center back, and Makakula very resolute. Very physical, and also in their defensive midfield.
Staying with the CAF Confederations Cup, Roland Okwuri scored with 3 minutes of regulation time left as AS Otoho Di Oyo beat Egypt's Al Masry 1-0 to move to second in Group C. Staying with Group C, Congolese Giants TP Mazembe beat Cameroon's Cotton Sports of Garoua 1-0 in Lubumbashi on Sunday to move top of Group C. Staying with football news, Kenya and Zimbabwe were last week banned by world governing body FIFA following interference by their various governments in the running of football in both countries. Former Zimbabwe footballer Shingi Kawedera says the ban comes with many positives for Zimbabwe football.
I think it's a very good move. It's a very good initiative by FIFA to ban Zimbabwe. I think Zimbabwe in football, we need to go back. We need to look at ourselves. To go back to the grassroots, there's a lot of corruption in the Premier League. I meet a lot of players, very good players. They are now playing in these rural areas because they are disappointed. They were disappointed up there because of the coaches. most of the coaches, they are taking money from the players, they are taking bribes.
That's former Zimbabwe national football team player Shingi Kawandera. And thanks to Samson Omale for that report. For reaction to Kenya's suspension by FIFA, Iron Mike Mbonye called Mombasa, where he reached an online editor with Nation Media Group in Kenya, David Kwalimwa.
Well, my take again is that the ban has long been coming. The standoff was so much and there was a lot of tension. You might remember the women national team, the Kenya women national team, Harambee Starlets, were barred, recently barred from competing at the Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers and handing a bye to Uganda, who qualified for the tournament. And just next week, the boys under 17 have been barred from competing in the tournament. So FIFA has been slowly tightening the noose on the government of Kenya, slowly putting up the pressure. And then the ban has now come. There are a lot of reactions already. I just spoke to a former Kenyan international, Mike Okoth. You may know him. He played for Kenya at the 2004 Africa Cup of Nations in Tunisia, and is the father to Divo Origi, the Belgium star who's playing for Liverpool at the moment. Okoth says there's no way forward other than the government and FIFA getting to the negotiation table and trying to get to the bottom of this and unlock the impasse. Remember, both the government and FIFA are important stakeholders of the game. FIFA do offer the rules and the furniture for which the game is to be played, but the government does give the furniture, does give the stadiums, builds the stadiums, helps with developing talents and so on and so forth. So both cannot do without each other, and both needs to come to the table to solve this problem, according to Mike Okoth, whom I spoke to in Mombasa, Kenya recently.
David, kindly tell Sunnyside of Sports listeners what led to the suspension of Football Kenya Federation.
Well, the decision by FIFA to indefinitely suspend Kenya from all football activities was widely expected, considering there has been a lot of back and forth between the government of Kenya and FIFA in the last 3 months since November 2021. You will remember then the government, through the Ministry of Sports, did disband Football Kenya Federation and had the Football Kenya Federation President Nick Mwendwa arrested and hauled before court on corruption allegations. In the Federation's place, the government did put up a caretaker committee to manage the affairs of football in the country in the interim. FIFA did outlaw the move then, and there have been negotiations behind the scenes to try and rectify the situation and probably bring normalcy to the game. But that did not happen. That was not successful. And FIFA have ostensibly cracked the whip and did ban Kenya alongside Zimbabwe, if you can remember, last week on Thursday, with the ban being announced by FIFA President Gianni Infantino via a virtual press conference from Zurich. Well, FIFA Secretary General Fatma Samora did later on clarify what the suspension meant, and said it will only be lifted if the government did reinstate the local federation back to office and did hand access to the federation officials to access the football headquarters in Nairobi. So that is the only demand put on the table. Interestingly, the government, through the Minister for Sport, Amina Mohamed, have hit back at FIFA and said FIFA is seemingly shielding corrupt officials and refusing to come to the table to try and look for a way forward. So as it is right now, there is a stalemate. We are not very sure how it will be solved, but what we are learning right now is that there are talks primed between FIFA and government officials in the near future. I cannot tell when, but soon enough, maybe FIFA will come to the negotiation table with the government in a bid to get a solution.
What are some of the implications of the suspension to Kenyan football, especially with so many national and international engagements scheduled to begin in March?
Well, the implications of a suspension on Kenya are far wide-reaching, and unfortunately, it is the main stakeholders of the game who are going to suffer. Of course, you know, henceforth, with the ban in existence, the Kenya national team or Kenyan clubs will not be allowed to participate in any international competitions. This includes the Africa Cup of Nations, the World Cup qualifiers. As well, Kenyan footballers based in Kenya will not be allowed to transfer and play professionally outside the country, even if they do get interest from clubs in Europe. Furthermore, Kenyan referees will not be allowed to officiate in international matches. There is one or two referees who had been selected to officiate matches at the upcoming FIFA World Cup in Qatar later this year. if the suspension is in place by the time the World Cup comes, then these referees will not be allowed to officiate in these matches. And also, finally, we have the money, more money FIFA does send to Kenya for development of talent, for maybe training referees and coaches to the tune of millions of dollars every year. FIFA will cut funding to Kenya immediately until this impasse is resolved.
That's David Kwalimwa, an online editor with Nation Media Group in Kenya. And David spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Mombasa, Kenya.
The Basketball Africa League is back. Voice of America joins forces with Africa's premier men's basketball league to bring you the second season of the BAL. It is game on March 5th, 2022. 38 games, 12 teams leaving it all on the court in Senegal, Egypt, and Rwanda to determine the 2022 season champion. Tune in to VOA 24/7, FMs, and to our radio and TV affiliates for some action. Pre-game, play-by-play, post-game, daily highlights, delivered by our finest commentators. Basketball Africa League 2022 on Voice of America. May the best team win.
I'm looking forward to anchoring our English radio broadcasts of the Basketball Africa League. The BAL's second season will tip off March 5th at the Dakar Arena. Senegal's Dakar Université Club will host Guinea's Seydou Legacy Athletic Club in the opening game. Now, both teams are making their debut in the Basketball Africa League. The five other newcomers to the 12-team BAL are Rwanda Energy Group, Cobra Sport of South Sudan, Ferroviario de Beira of Mozambique, Espoir Foucache of the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Cape Town Tigers of South Africa. The 12 BAL teams are divided into two 6-team conferences, the Sahara Conference and the Nile Conference. The Sahara Conference will be in action from March 5th to March 15th in Kigali, Rwanda, and the Nile Conference will play games from April 9th to April 19th at the Hassan Mustafa Indoor Sports Complex in Cairo, Egypt. The top four teams in each conference will advance to the BAL quarterfinals, which will be played in May in Kigali, Rwanda. The Basketball Africa League's title game is scheduled for May 28th in Kigali. The Egyptian club Zamalek has returned to defend its BAL title. Zamalek is in the Nile Conference and will play its opening game against Cobra Sport of South Sudan in Cairo. The Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA. In NBA action Sunday, young Slovenian star Luka Doncic helped spark the Dallas Mavericks to a comeback victory on the road against the Golden State Warriors in San Francisco, California. The AP's Ryan Leong reports from San Francisco.
The Mavericks with one of their biggest wins of the season after trailing by 21 points in the third quarter to beat the Warriors 107-101. The game turned in the fourth quarter when Dallas outscored Golden State 33-13. Luka Doncic with game highs of 34 points and 11 rebounds.
Everybody step on the court, you know, had something to do. Guys played great. So this is a really big team win.
Spencer Dinwiddie added 24 points off the bench.
I think with any comeback, you got to just kind of keep your head down, keep firing. You know what I mean? You can't try to hit the home run play, especially down 21. If you just came out firing threes every other play and not good quality threes, then you could be in trouble. But, you know, we kept our head down. We got enough stops, obviously, with their misses and just kept plugging away at it.
For the Warriors, Stephen Curry with a team-high 27 points, but only 3 of 10 on three-point attempts.
Been a rough, you know,
fourth quarter for us, so we got to figure out how to maintain our energy even if shots aren't falling, because that's what it might be like in a playoff game where you got to grind out a win and, you know, a team on the other side, they have a little bit of life to take advantage of it.
Golden State has lost three of its last four games. Ryan Leong, San Francisco.
Thanks, Ryan. From San Francisco, let's go across the USA to New York City, where the Philadelphia 76ers beat the New York Knicks 125-109. Cameroonian star Joel Embiid scored a game-high 37 points for Philadelphia. Embiid also had a career-high 23 made free throws.
I got someone that attracts. That attracts a lot of attention too. So you got to make a decision. Do you, you know, stay on me or do you stay on them? And, you know, if you want to guard both of us, you know, with the other guys, now you got, you know, Matisse dive into the rim.
In Phoenix, Arizona, the Utah Jazz defeated the NBA leading Phoenix Suns. The Indiana Pacers were also winners on Sunday in the NBA. The AP's Dave Ferry tells us about the victories by the Jazz and the Pacers.
Donovan Mitchell scored 26 points, and Rudy Gobert had a double-double as the Jazz won for the eighth time in nine games, 118-114 over the Suns. Gobert had 16 points and 14 rebounds for the Jazz.
More than the wins, just our mindset. You know, the way we compete defensively and the way we play together offensively is really the one thing that we can take away. And we know that when we play that way, you know, we're going to be in a good shape every night.
Jordan Clarkson had 22 points on 10 of 17 shooting. Part of the Utah second unit that outscored the Phoenix bench 43-11. Devin Booker led Phoenix with 30 points.
We just have to move on from it. You know, obviously we preach not wanting to lose two games in a row, and that was our mindset coming into the game, and we lost it. I think we're still sitting in a good position, but, you know, our antennas are up, and, you know, we're going to get ready for Portland on Wednesday.
While Cameron Johnson and DeAndre Ayton each had 23, Buddy Hield delivered 11 of his 21 points during the final 8 minutes to help the Pacers pull away from the Celtics, 128-107. O'Shea Brissett made a career-high 6 three-pointers and finished with 27 points as Indiana won for just the second time in 10 games.
I felt like I was in the right positions to get going. Wasn't taking anything, you know, wild or out of my element or out of my zone. You know, guys were moving the ball, and that's where it really started from.
The Pacers made 17 threes overall, five straight in the second quarter to put them ahead 59-46. Tyrese Halliburton had 22 points and 9 assists for Indiana.
I think just the randomness we played with, we played very free. And, you know, Buddy gets knocked sometimes playing too random, like he's flying around in the wrong spot sometimes. But that randomness really helped us tonight. It got to the point where Rick was like, I don't even want to draw anything up.
Jason Tatum finished with 24 points, and Jaylen Brown scored 23 for Boston, which ended a seven-game road winning streak. I'm Dave Ferry.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America. Once again, The Voice of America is a proud broadcasting partner of the Basketball Africa League, which tips off its second season on Saturday, March 5th, in Dakar, Senegal. I'm looking forward to anchoring our English radio broadcasts of the Basketball Africa League. In the opening game on Saturday, Senegal's Dakar University Club will host Guinea's Seydou Legacy Athletic Club, and that contest will be played at the Dakar Arena. The action will switch to Cairo, Egypt in April for more BAL games. And the title game is scheduled for May 28th in Kigali, Rwanda. The Basketball Africa League, Season 2, right here on The Voice of America. wraps up the February 28th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.